Okay, we're beginning here at the bottom of Mem Ted Amud Bet. We finished off yesterday with the Mishnah and then the Braita that followed, discussing what is the boar that one is chayav for. The Braita laid out a number of examples. It says, Tanu Banan, Hakufer boar b'shut yachid uptachol b'shut rabim. If the boar is found in the b'shut yachid and open to the b'shut rabim, chayav. B'zehu boar hamur b'torah divi Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, this is the classic example, the paradigmatic boar that is found in the Torah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hifkir Rishuto, Lo Hifkir Boro, Zehu Bor Amur Batorah. When a person gives over his property to the public at large, but he maintains ownership over the boar, that is the boar that is mentioned in the Torah. That is the paradigmatic boar. What's very interesting here about both of these scenarios, or both of the paradigms that are mentioned by Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, is both of them have a boar that is Bershut HaYachid, or is owned by the individual. The difference being that Rabbi Shmuel says that it's opened into the Reshut HaRabim, whereas Rabbi Akiva has the scenario where the Reshut HaRabim is created around the boar. But both of them have the physical boar being in the Reshut HaYachid. And according to most, when you're talking about opening in the Reshut HaRabim, and the boar in the Reshut HaYachid means it's on an angle, and therefore, when they fall in, they fall or enter from the Reshut HaRabim, but they end up, the boar at the bottom is already in the Reshut HaYachid. So now, you have this machloka between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, as to what is the paradigmatic boar. And now we're going to have a machloket amoraim between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef as to how to explain the machloket between them. And that is, I'm a Rabbi, but boar b'shut rabim, you're talking about a boar in b'shut rabim, kuli amo lo plige de mechayev. Everybody agrees that you're chayav for a boar b'shut rabim. The Baalei HaTosafot bring here that in the Tosefta, there's actually a fourth scenario or a different case where they mention that it is a boar that is b'shut rabim uptachol b'shut rabim. That the boar itself is found in Reshut HaRabim, and the opening is in Reshut HaRabim, which would negate what I said before, that they both say that the boar is Bishut HaYachid. That's what it says, that's less relevant than the fact that it opens into Reshut HaRabim, and that accords with Tosafot's comment on the Mishnah, that the only thing that matters here is where it opens to. That's the key factor. Wherever it opens, or wherever the takala is found, that's what determines for the boar. My time, Amar Kra. The Pasuk says, so here the Gemara is going to quote the Psukim. I'll read you the Psukim that are associated with the boar, because they're going to mention them a number of times. It says, Ki iftach ish boar, o ki echre ish boar, velo yechasenu. If a person opens up a boar, or someone quarries, digs out a boar, velo yechasenu, and he does not cover it up. When a fala shama shor o chamor, and a shor chamor falls in, bala bor yishalem, kesef yashiv levalav, he has to make restitution to the owners, v'meit yelo. Those are the psukim that are mentioned here. The focus in this part of the braita we're going to see is b'chiftach ishbor ki'ichre ishbor, which is there are two verbs that are used here for the creation of the boar. One is p'tach, that he opened it up. The other one is ki'ichre, that he dug out or he quarried the boar. The other one that is important here, it says bala bor yishalem, the owner of the boar. So those will be key phrases in the Gemara here. It says, my time, amar kra ki'ichtach v'chi'ichre. Gives you two verbs about the creation of the boar. Im al pticha chayav, al kriya lo kol shekein. If simply opening up or uncovering a boar makes you culpable for any damage that happens, then certainly the digging out of a boar you would be chayav for. Why does the Torah have to tell you that if you dig the boar you're going to be chayav, when it already told you if you just open the boar, if there was a cover on it and you open it up, you're going to be responsible. Clearly if you dug the boar and created the mazik over there, then certainly you should be chayav. Ela shall escape ticha valiskei kriya ba'olo. Psukim are coming to say that you are chayav for simply engaging in uncovering or simply engaging in digging. So that means that it has nothing to do with your ownership. As opposed to other mazikim that we've spoken about till now, really the Bava Kamma is divided up into Adama Mazik, which is where you or the person themselves is the one who damages. And then it's Mamanoa Mazik. It's something that either he sets in motion, something that he possesses, he owns, that he creates the Nezek that happens. Over here, the Torah talks about Ki Iftach and Ki Echre, the way that the Gemara is learning it now. The fact that you wrote Ki Echre when it's unnecessary comes to tell you that digging of the boar itself makes you responsible, irrespective of the fact or irrelevant is the fact that you own it or that it is your mamon. And so therefore, you're going to be chayav for a boar that is in Reshut HaRabim. That's whether the boar itself is in Reshut HaRabim or in the Reshut HaYachid, but it opens into the Reshut HaRabim. And your digging or creating a boar in the Reshut HaRabim makes you responsible. And that's why both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are not going to argue there about the fact that you are chayav. Lo nechleku ela b'bor birshuto. The question, it comes about a boar that is in his possession. Rabbi Akiva Savar, boar birshuto nami chayav. Rabbi Akiva says, when you have a boar in your own possession, you are also chayav. Dichtev, as I mentioned before, at the end it says, bala boar yishalem. The boar ditle balim kamar. That's how you met a boar that has owners. Or meaning that the possession of the boar is also important. That means that you own it. It's your private boar. So that's what kamar rachmona. That's what the Torah is speaking about. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, bal hatakala. That the only thing that matters is that you created the problem, but not that you have to own or possess the boar in any way. Now, Rashi explains the machloket here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Clearly, if you open up a boar in your private domain, and you open up the top, then you're not chayav for digging a ditch or opening up a boar in your own property. Unless, of course, you've given permission to others to enter there, and then you might have to protect against them falling in there. But even in that scenario, it may not be clear that you're chayav or culpable for anything. So that obviously is not the scenario that we're speaking about where you open it up into your own reshut yachid. We had yesterday Tosafot explain the Mishnah. There's a possibility that when we're talking about a boar reshut yachid is when you open it up into someone else's property illegally, then maybe there you'll be chayav for boar. But what Rashi explains over here, and the way that it seems the Gemara is understanding it, is that boar bishuto means that he owns the boar and he owns the land around it. Then he grants the land around it to the public at large, but he retains ownership of the boar. So now he has a private boar that is in the middle of the public domain because he granted that area or that property to the public at large. So now Rashi says the reasoning behind Rabbi Shmuel's shita as to why you're not chayav is Ava Rabbi Shmuel lo modi le Rabbi Akiva beboar bishuto. Because savor ki afkrana lecha reshuti lav lechiyuve anav hezeke afkartia, says when I did this altruistic thing by giving up my property to the public at large, I did not give it up in order to be culpable or chayav for the boar that is there. I gave it up, but I gave it up in such a manner that I don't expect to be held responsible or culpable for the boar that is there. And so Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Kiv, it's very nice that now you have a boar that's a boar shel yachid in the reshut rabim. But that still is not something that you're going to be responsible for, because in your granting of the property to the Rabim, in essence, you got a waiver that says that you can keep the boar there. That's how Rashi reads it. The Bali of Tosafot on top of Nun Amud Aleph don't think that that's the right explanation for Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Rather, they say, the owner of the boar can say to the Baal HaShor, what is your animal doing inside of my boar? You shouldn't have come so close to my boar. Come next to my property that you fell into my boar. So that is the reasoning. So what we're saying is, or what Rabbi Shmuel is claiming, is that the Baal of the animal also has a responsibility to be careful and to keep his animal away from private property or dangerous items. And when the shore ends up in your boar, then you can say to him, listen, I don't know why you didn't take care of your animal. It won't be in my boar if you took care of your animal. It was your lack of shmirah that resulted in your animal being in the boar, not the fact that I put an obstacle in the Reshut Rabim, because my obstacle preceded the Reshut Rabim. It was mine before there was ever a Reshut Rabim over here. So if one of those two reasons, the way Rashi gives, or that, the Bali Tosafot gives, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the Rabbi Akiva and says that boar birshuto, where the area of the Rabim around it is Shayach to the Rabim, there you're going to be patur. Ella, my zehu bor amur b'torah de kama Rabbi Akiva. But then, if that is the explanation that Rabbah is giving, why does Rabbi Akiva say this is the paradigmatic bor that is found in the Torah? For Rabbi Shmuel, I can understand the statement, because Rabbi Shmuel has two dinim. He has a din where you're chayav in bor, that's bor b'shut rabim. He has a din, or a bor that you are patur, that's bor b'shut yachid. So when he says zehu bor amurad Torah, he means there's boar that's in the Reshut Rabim, open to the Reshut Rabim, that's the boar of the Torah, because the other one is not the boar of the Torah. But for Rabbi Akiva, who says that both borot are considered to be borot min haTorah, whether it's the boar Reshut Rabim that opens the Reshut Rabim, or whether it's the boar that's Reshut Yachid, where he gave up the property around to the Rabim. So then what does Rabbi Akiva say? Zehu. Zehu implies this and not something else. That's what the Gemara's question is. My Zehu bor amur b'Torah, come Rabbi Akiva. Zehu bor shepatach ba katuv tchila l'tashlumim. That is the boar that the Torah began to discuss by Tashlumim. And that is, again, if you divide up the Sukkim, you have the first Pasuk that talks about V'chi Tach Ish Boar, O Ki Yichre Ish Boar, There it doesn't talk about ownership at all. It simply talks about the creation of the obstacle, the creation of the boar. In the second pasuk, it says, Bal ha-bor yishalem. So there is balut, that it speaks about the specific balut. So what Rabbi Akiva is saying back to Rabbi Shmuel, he says, I don't understand the way Rashi phrases it. It's almost a rhetorical question. I don't understand how you can claim that the only boar that's in the Torah is the boar birshut ha-rabim. The first boar that is mentioned by Tashlumim is Bal HaBor Yishalim. It's talking about a boar that is owned by the individual, and therefore it should be also a Bal HaBor that is Rishut Yachid, you should be Chayav for. So that's the position of Rabbah. Rabbah's position, once again, is that Rishut HaRabim, everybody agrees you're Chayav. Rishut Yachid, Rabbi Kiva says you're Chayav, Rabbi Shmuel says you are Patur. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Bebor Rishut Yachid, Kulem Alo Pligei Demechayiv. Everybody agrees you're Chayav. When it comes to a boar b'shut ha-yachid, because my time of balabor amarachmana, the claim that according to Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva has against Rabbi Shmuel is the pasuk says balabor, so that means that's a boar with ownership. But boar did lay bali maskin, and we're talking about a boar that has owners to it. Keep lige, where is their argument? Boar b'shut ha-rabim, a boar that is found in the public domain. Rabbi Shmuel savar boar b'shut ha-rabim nami chayav, that a boar that is found in the shut ha-rabim, you're also chayav for dichtiv ki yiftach v'ki yichre. Because he dashes, as we did before, the psukim of Kivtach Kiyichre, Ima Pticha Chayav Al Kriya Lo Kol Shekein. If you open it and you're Chayav, certainly if you dug it, you should be Chayav. El Shal Iskei Pticha Val Iskei Kriya Baulo. But rather, it's because to tell you that what makes you culpable over here is the mere opening of the obstacle or the digging of the obstacle. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, Bor's unique property is that it's Tilchilato Lehezek, or Klo Asiato Lehezek. That its creation, its mere creation, is for damage. Now, that could be looked at in one of two ways. One of which is that you've created an obstacle that has a high likelihood of someone becoming injured in it. And therefore, that is the property of the boar, which is, it is so highly likely that someone will be injured or be hurt by the boar. So that's what it means, tchilat asiyato denezek. Or, you could phrase it and say that the mere digging of the boar, or the creation of the boar, is already nezek. You are basically an accident waiting to happen. You've already done the damage. We just need to find out who is the party that is going to receive the compensation from you, because by the mere digging of the boar, you've already created the obstacle or the problem. And so that's what it means here. Al iskei pticha, al iskei kriya. That the mere creation of the boar is what generates the nezek, either in the more extreme form relation, it means that you've already done the damage, you're just waiting for the party that's going to receive your payment or be the recipient of your compensation. In the other formulation, it's just that your digging of the boar is a creation of something which in all likelihood or a high percentage chance will end up damaging the individuals, and therefore you're going to be held culpable. Now, what's interesting about this view is that Rabbi Shmuel over here says you are chayav birshut ha-rabim, just like you are chayav in rishut ha-yachid. And here you have the emphasis on Rabbi Shmuel Shita. If you actually recall, back on Daf Chavtet Amud Bet, Rabbi Shmuel is quoted there. He's also quoted in the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Elazar Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Shnei Dorim Einan Birshuto Shel Adan. Vasana Katuv Kilu Ein Birshuto. There are two things that are not in the possession of an individual, and yet the Torah places them into his possession. Kilu Ein Birshuto, as if they are yours. Ve'elohein Bor Birshuto Rabim. So Bor B'shut ha-rabim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is this unique or special case. And then it would make sense here, when Rabbi Shmuel says, Bor B'shut ha-rabim, nami chayav, it makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Shmuel the Shitato, who says that Bor B'shut ha-rabim is deemed to be as if it is a Bor B'shut ha-yachid. Because of this idea, ki yiftach v'ki yichre, that the responsibility is yours despite the fact that you have no ownership or monetary possession over here. Now, the Baal Yetos would also note that according to the Chilta in the Midrash Halacha on Sefer Shmot, it says there, Mikan She'enun Shin Min Adin, that this actually teaches you that you can't then punish based on a logical argument or a Kal V'chomer. The fact that the Torah had to go out of its way to write Ki Yiftach and Ki Yichre shows you that had it just written Ki Yiftach, you could not have automatically known Ki Yichre, because we don't allow for Unshin Min Adin, we don't allow for a kal v'chomer to generate an onesh. So he says clearly the Shas Bavli is not learning that way. And the Shas Bavli never mentions that as the source for that Pennsylvania Unshin Min HaDin, and therefore it's available for the drasha that's being brought here, according to Rabbi Yishmael, which is that there is responsibility here, despite the lack of ownership. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael and says, Hanu mitzrech tzriche. Those words of ki yiftach and ki yichrea, we need both of them, and therefore they're not available for the limud that you are suggesting. Dikatav rachmana ki yiftach. The Torah just had said, you opened up the bor, havamina poteachu, tesagile bikisui. If you open up the bor, then you have a right to cover the bor in order to exempt yourself from liability. Kore, on the other hand, if you dig the physical bor, maybe lo sagile bikisui at the timeline. Maybe it would not be sufficient to cover it in order to remove the liability. You might have to refill it or fill it back in order to exempt yourself or remove the liability. If the Torah only wrote kiyachre that he dug the bor, avamina kriyahu dubai kisui. Only if you dig out the bor are you required to cover it, mishum david masa. Because over there you did something significant in the creation of the bor. Avo puteach dolo avad masa. Now then, if you simply uncover the bor, which you didn't dig the bor, you simply uncovered it, ema kisui nami lo bai. Maybe he doesn't even require to cover it up in order not to be responsible. The guy who dug the bor is the one who's responsible. If this individual comes along and uncovers it, the one who dug the bor has got to be aware of that. He's got to take care of it. And the one who uncovered it maybe should not be chayav. Kamash malan, that you're chayav for both of those. You're responsible both if you dig it and if you open it. In both cases, it's sufficient for you to recover it in order to remove the liability. So ve'elamai, according to the way that Rav Yosef is explaining the machloket, then what is zehu bor amura b'torah to come to Rabbi Yishmael? The Rabbi Yishmael, when he says zehu bor, again, similar to what we said before, doesn't make so much sense. According to Rabbi Akiva, says zehu bor, that's because Rabbi Akiva believes only a bor b'shut yachid is chayav, bor b'shut rabim is patur. On the other hand, Rabbi Yishmael believes both bor b'shut yachid and bor b'shut rabim are chayavin. So then what is meant by Zehu Bor Amur Torah? This is the Bor of the Torah. It's not the only Bor of the Torah. Both the cases are Bor Shebet Torah. When it says Zehu Bor Shbatach Bo Katuv Tchila Nizikin, this is the Bor which the Torah opened with. Opened with means Ki Iftach Ishbor V'Ki Yichre Bor. It's actually also happens to be a pun, which is that the Pasuk opens with the opening of a Bor. And so that's what is meant over here, Zehu. This is the bor that the Psukim open with, which is a bor b'shut rabim, because there it mentions nothing about ownership or balut. It simply mentions that you created the takala. As Rabbi Shmuel said before, the bala takala, that you are the one who generated the problem or the obstacle over there, doesn't mean that you necessarily own it. So meitave, we have a question on that. Hachofer bor, b'shut rabim, ubtachol b'shut yachid. Someone digs a bor in the Reshut HaRabim, in the public domain, and then opens it up into Reshut HaYachid, patur. Now, why is that a chiddush that he opened it up in the Reshut HaYachid? If he opens it up in the Reshut HaYachid, it should be clear that he is patur. The reason that it's a chiddush here is that even though you have no right to dig under the Reshut HaRabim, and you did so, you dug the bor under the Reshut HaRabim, nevertheless, you are not liable because the bor opens up into Reshut HaYachid. The fish ain't osim chalal tachet Reshut HaRabim. So despite the fact that you violated that principle or that law, that you're not allowed to dig under the Reshut HaRabim, nevertheless, that does not bring with it liability because the bor opens up to the Reshut HaYachid, and that's the chidush. The reason you're not allowed to dig under the Reshut HaRabim is because we're worried about you weakening the foundations or the structure of the Reshut HaRabim. So as long as nothing happens, you're not going to be chayav. But the reason it's illegal, or the reason you're not allowed to do it, is because the fear that you're digging underneath will weaken structurally the Reshut HaRabim or anything that is found above it. So, yes, if you do it, you're not liable until something happens, but we're going to dissuade you, or we're not going to allow you to do this. It's not the proper thing to do. All that it's saying here is that despite the fact that he did something illegal, he won't be liable if someone falls into the bor inside of his property or in the Reshut HaYachid. Kofer borot shichenu me'arot. I'm going to defer the discussion of the exact details of what these are, because the next Mishnah is going to bring them down, and there we'll discuss exactly the difference between them. But he dug a cistern or some other ditch or openings in the Reshut HaYachid. Ubtachol Reshut HaRabim, but he opened it up into the Reshut HaRabim. Chayav. He is responsible for that. V'achofer borot Reshut HaYachid hasmucha Reshut HaRabim. Someone opens up a bor adjacent to the Reshut HaRabim. It's in his property, but it's adjacent. Kigon, elu achofrim le'ushin. like those who dig foundations for their house, they are patur. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Michayev, Ad Yaseh Mechitza Asara, you are chayav until you put up a fence that is 10 tefachim high, or Ad Yachik Mimakom Jisat Raglei Adam, or Mimakom Jisat Raglei Behema, Arba'at Tefachim, until you pull back into your property, at least 4 tefachim. Their alternate girsa is 4 amot, but you have to move back into your property, leaving sufficient room for those people that are traversing the Reshut Rabim, so that if they step by the edge of the Reshut Rabim, they're not going to be on the edge of a cliff or on the edge of your boar that is sitting there. So if you put it up against the Reshut Rabim, immediately adjacent to Reshut Rabim, you are responsible for that because of the fact that you're putting the obstacle so close to the Reshut Rabim that anybody who's in the Reshut Rabim or on the edge of the Reshut Rabim has a high likelihood of landing inside of your boar. But if it's Le'ushim, if it's for a foundation, we say that it is fine. Taima de Le'ushin. That's only true if you use it for a foundation. Rashi over here says Le'ushim is Yisod Lechomot Lechomat Beito. These are the foundations for the walls of his house. And he brings a proof from the Pasuk in Ezra that talks about them putting down the foundations or laying foundations for the walls. What's interesting is if you look back on Daf Chaf Amud Bet, there the Gemara discussing about Zenene Vize Lo Chaser. One of the issues that were raised over there is the problem that when someone lives in a house without the permission of the Balabait, and even though you say Zenene Vize Lo Chaser, there's no Chaser, the Gemara raised the possibility that there is something that is Chaser because there is depreciation or aging of the house by living in there. And one of the main issues of the aging or the utilization of the house was the fact that in their day, they cooked with fire, and so that was the blackening of the walls, or the soot that came from the cooking inside the house. And over there it says, Shani ha'otom mishum shachrurita dashiaita, that it talks about the blackening of the walls. So over there you see the word ashiaita that is used, similar to the word over here of le'ushin, which Rashi associates with nafala shita in the Gemara and Brachot, and I'm just noting for you that back in the beginning of Masechta and Daf Chaf Amud Bet, it also used the term ashiata to describe walls, or here it means the foundations of the walls. So what the Gemara is medayik is that in the Braita it says, because you put down a foundation, halav le'ushin, but had you dug something there which was not a foundation, chayav, then you would be responsible. The reason being that Rashi says is that le'ushin is something where everybody has permission to do it because everyone needs to do it. So as if there is as if a social contract, a waiver that is provided to anyone who's building, that they can dig the foundations for their walls and deepen the area around in order to place the foundations. Now the question of whether that means that the foundations remain there, meaning the ditch to put the foundations down remains, or maybe the reason you are patur is because of the fact that you are going to refill those foundations. Once you've placed the foundations in the ground, then you will fill it back in, the ditch that you dug to put the foundations in, you'll fill it in after the fact. So it's only a temporary bore that is there, but it's a temporary bore that is considered, or is whose damage or liability is waived by everyone, because everyone in society would like to have this right or this ability to lay their foundations. And so therefore, it's a given that you're allowed to put this down and be patur. But on the other hand, Havla Ushin, if it was not done for foundations, Chayav, then you would be responsible for the damage that is done. So Hamani, who is the author of this Braita? Remember, the Braita has 3 sections to it. The first section of the Braita is a Chofer Bor Bishut Arbim of Tachol Bishut Yachid. That's Patur. The next section was a Chofer Borot Shechim Marot Bishut Yachid Up Tachol Bishut Arbim. So the opposite case, the case where it opens it up into the Bishut Arbim, Chayav. And then you have the last case, which is a Chofer Borot Bishut Yachid Asmuchad Bishut Arbim, Kigon Le'ushin, if it is foundations which are permissible, you'd be patur, because everybody is permitted. The permission comes with a waiver, which is that since everybody wants it, and everybody wants the waiver, we all agree to give each other a waiver for digging foundations. That's one way to look at it. I give the other possibility, which is simply that you're going to end up filling it in anyway, so that it's only a temporary item, and that's why your liability is waived. Again, we shouldn't even discuss why it is that the liability is waived over here. But the main thing is the diok out of that, which is that's only for foundations in the case. If it's not done for that purpose, or you're not done with the permitted purpose, then you are chayav. So here you have 2 scenarios of a bor opening up into a reshuta yachid. One case where it opens up to Reshut HaYachid, you're patur. That's the first case. So another case where it opens up into Reshut HaYachid, which is this case of Le'ushin, where it's done adjacent to the Reshut HaRabim. And over there, you are Chayav. And then we have the Bor Reshut HaRabim, for which you are patur. So Gemara wants to know, Hamani, who's the author of this Braita? Bishlam of the Rabbo. According to Rabbo, you could say Reisho Rabbi Yishmo, but Sefer Rabbi Akiva. The Reisho is Rabbi Yishmo, who says that you are patur by the Bor Reshut HaYachid, and he'll be author of that position within the Braita that says Bor that's opened up Reshut HaYachid is patur. The Seifa, and the Seifa where Midayek, out of the fact that Lushin is patur, but not anything else is patur, that'll be authored Rabbi Akiva, who says you are Chayav in those instances for a Bor that opens up adjacent to the Reshut HaRabim. And so for Rabba, you can explain the Braita and the Stira in the Braita as being dual authorship, part of it being authored by Rabbi Yishmael, that's the Reisha case, and part of it being authored by Rabbi Akiva, which is the Seifa case. Elo Rav Yosef. For Rav Yosef, Bishlama Seifa Divrei Akohi. The Seifa will be according to everyone, which is in the Seifa where you make the Diyuk that you're Chayav for the Reshut HaYachid. Everybody agrees with that according to Rav Yosef. Elo Reisha Minamani. Who is the Reisha authored by? Because the Reisha over here suggests that in the Reshut HaYachid, you are patur. But the whole premise of Rabbi Yosef's position is that everybody agrees, Reshut HaYachid, you're Chayav. So therefore it's low Rabbi Yishmael, below Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yosef, Kula Divrei Akohi. The entire Braita can be authored by anyone, meaning both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Veresha Shelo Hivkir, Lo Reshuto, Velo Boro. The Resha, why you're patur for the boar that's opened up in the Reshut HaYachid, is because you were not mafkir the territory or the area around the boar, not the boar itself, and not the area around the boar. Now, as Balei Tosafot point out, many Rishonim point out, Rav Yosef says kula divrei akohi. That is not exactly true because there are three cases in the Braita. The first case is talking about Reshut HaYachid, where you are patur. The third case is talking about Reshut HaYachid, based on the diok that you are chayav. That is easy to explain as divrei hakol. The problem is the middle scenario, the middle case that says Reshut HaRabim, you are patur, that clearly has to be according to Rabbi Kiva and cannot be according to Rabbi Shmuel in the Shita of Yosef. And so that's what the Balei Tosfot, the Rishonim point out, that the Metziata definitely has to be authored by Rabbi Akiva according to Rabbi Yosef. Now that Rabbi Yosef set up the case like this, which is the case where you are patur when the boar is opened up to Reshut HaYachid, is a case where you didn't relinquish your ownership of the land around it, nor of the boar. Then what's the chiddush? Of course you're patur. Why shouldn't you be patur? So Rashi says over here, v'itzrich l'ashminan, da'af agav de'en rashui lasot kein, even though he is not permitted to do this. Once again, the first case in the Bright is a case where he digs under the Reshut HaRabim and then opens up the boar into the Reshut HaYachid. So again, there, everybody says you are patur, despite the violation of having dug under the Reshut HaRabim. Now that you explain the Braita being according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, the Rabba Nami lo tukma kitanae. So let us say that Rabba also will say the same thing. It's not a machloket tanaim here. Midresha, Rabbi Shmuel, Seifa Nami Rabbi Shmuel. Let us say that if the Resha is authored by Rabbi Shmuel, then the Seifa is also authored by Rabbi Shmuel. The Resha being authored by Rabbi Shmuel according to Rabba is because Rabbi Yishmael believes that a Bor Reshut HaYachid is patur. So he's the author of the Resha. So Seifa Nami, we're going to say by the Seifa also that Rabbi Yishmael will be the author of that part of the Braita, even though there's a diuk here that Ulushim patur, but otherwise you are chayav for what seemingly is a Bor Reshut HaYachid. Where it says, so if the Resha is Rabbi Yishmael, Seifa Nami Yishmael, but Taima de Lushin. That's only because it was the foundations. Halav Lushin chayav. And in the case where there wasn't for foundations, you'd be chayav, which is problematic for Rabbi Yishmael's shita, according to Rabba, because Rabbi Yishmael believes that you're patur by Bor Reshut HaYachid. So kagon, the case here is the arvach arvuche the Reshut HaRabim. He expanded it out until it went into the Reshut HaRabim. That he overextended the foundation and went into the Reshut HaRabim where he does not have permission to do it. And essentially it became a Bor Reshut HaRabim because of that. Now, that is the view of the Rashba. Many don't like that position because of the fact that once you enter into the Reshut HaRabim, of course it is problematic. Therefore, they lean towards the explanation of Rashi as emended by the Haggot HaBach, which is that it's a case where That he had granted the Rishut Rabim rights into his property, because then it becomes as if he's digging a bor b'shut Rabim. Not effectively, because it's not really the Rishut Rabim, it is his property, but since he granted rights to the Rishut Rabim to come there, he no longer has the ability or the right to dig out the areas of the Rishut Rabim. Now, for the Ushin, for the basic foundation, he retained that right when he granted an easement to the public at large. But what he didn't do is give himself the ability, once he's put the foundation in, to expand it or to go beyond the normal borders of a foundation. There he's encroaching on the land that he gave to the Rishut Rabim, and therefore he's going to be held liable for opening up, even though it's in his own property, something that he granted an easement to the Rishut Rabim. So now, what Bali Tosfot says there now is, V'ashtot kula divriyako, that everybody agrees to the cases here in the Braita, which is, Reisha kishlo yifkir lo rishuto v'lo boro. The Reisha is a case where he didn't do anything, he didn't relinquish control whatsoever. And that's why you are patur. Seifa da arva charvuche. And the case in the Seifa is a case where he expounds the foundations. That's why even Rabbi Shmuel would agree, who normally thinks that you're patur for a bor b'shut yachid, over here will agree you're chayav because you did something that was almost negligent or something that really overreached. You're not simply putting your bor in the b'shut yachid. You expanded your bor or you expanded the foundations until it really ate into the b'shut rabim. Meitve. Hachufer bor b'shut yachid uptachol b'shut rabim. He takes it in b'shut yachid and opens it into b'shut rabim. Chayav. B'shut yachid asmucha l'rishut rabim patur. He does it adjacent to the rishut rabim and opens up in the rishut yachid, he's patur. Bishlama the rabbo. According to rabbo, kula rabbi shmohi. That breita can be explained entirely according to the shita of rabbi shmohi, which is bor b'shut rabim you are chayav. Bor b'shut yachid you are patur. Ela Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, how is he going to explain this breita? Bishlama reisha Rabbi Shmuel. Or I can explain the reisha, I can understand why the reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, because there it says, Tachol reshut yabim, you are chayav. Ela Seifa Mani. Who is the author of the Seifa, according to Rav Yosef? Remember, Rav Yosef believes that when it comes to a bor b'shut yachid, everyone thinks you are chayav. All of a sudden here, the breita is saying you are patur. So therefore it's lo Rabbi Shmuel, v'lo Rabbi Kiva. It's a case where he's digging for foundations, and since he's digging for foundations, everybody agrees that you are patur. Turn up anan. Hachafar upatach umasar l'rabim patur. If a person excavates, digs out, opens up a bor, and then hands it over to the public to utilize, patur. Hachafar upatach, on the other hand, if he digs it out, or he opens it, or he opens it, below Masar the Rabim, and he never relinquishes or gives over control to the Rabim, Chayam, he is responsible for that. Chayim minago, shonukhunya, chufir barot, shechimu mearot. That was the practice of this tzaddik. Nukhunya, chufir barot, shechimu mearot. He was basically Nukhunya, the excavator, the cistern digger. He was the one who created these barot to collect rainwater. That's exactly what his practice was. He used to dig it out, create the bor, and then hand it over to the rabim. And when the chachamim heard that's what he was doing, amru kiyem zeh halacha zu, that he kept this halacha. It says halacha zu v'tolo. They're crediting him with keeping this halacha as if there's no other halacha that he kept. Ela'ima af halacha zu, that he kept also, or in addition to all the things that he kept this halacha, which is that you're not allowed, that you should do it in this following manner. You should dig and then open up the bor and then grant it to the rabim for the rabim to be able to utilize. The reason that he did this was because during the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael, you had to collect sufficient water. That water would be around during the summer season. So what they used to do was dig cisterns or borot in order to capture the water. So Rabbi Nechunya did this as his pro bono work. He would go out and dig out all the barot cisterns so that they would be sufficient water for the Olei Regalim. And he helped obviously others, or the areas that got ruined during the winter time, he'd also fix them up and make sure that those barot were available to the Olei Regalim. That's the reason the Chachamim thought so highly of him, because of this altruistic work that he did on behalf of the Rabbim, and he also followed the prescription of the Chachamim, which is that Chafar Upatach Umasar the Rabbim, and then to do it in that manner. So Tan Rabbanan Masev Vitosh Nechunya Chofer Shechin Nefshanafla the Bor Gadol. She ended up falling into this large pit, this ditch, cistern. They came and informed Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa about the situation. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is famous for the stories and the miracles that are spoken about him in Masechet Ta'anit. Over here again, we're going to see something, the great power of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his tefillah. It says here, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shari Shana Amar Lahem Shalom. The first hour went by, says, okay, everything's good. Shnei Amar Lahem Shalom. Second hour he waited, they asked him again, he says, nothing. Shlishit Amar Lahem Alta, she's out, she's fine. Amru La Mehelach, who took you out of the boar? How were you saved? Amru Lahem Zachar Shel Rechalim Nizdamein Li, a ram or an ayo, the male of the ewe, which is the ram or the ayo, came there. V'zaken Echad Manhigo, and there was an elderly gentleman that was driving or walking with it. And the way Rashi explains that over here, that's a reference to Avram Avinu and the ayol that he put on the Mizbeach. So, the fact that Avram, who was this Baal Chesed, so he comes, Mida Keneged Midah, to be the one that saves the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Barot Shechin, because of his great Chesed that he did to others. And it came with the ayol, which represents the animal that replaced Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. And so it references the saving of a child, which over here also, that this girl, this daughter of Nechunya Chofer Barot Shechinu Me'arot, his daughter was the one that was saved over here. So I'm a little, Naviata, you're a prophet? How did you know that that's when she came out? How did you know that 3 hours and she's coming out? I myself am not a prophet, not the son of a prophet. This is what I thought. Davar Shoto Tzadik Mister Bo Ikashel Bo Zaro. How could it be possible that the actual item by which this person serves Hashem in such a tremendous Baal Chesed, that should lead to the downfall or the death of his child? So basically he says that it would be impossible because of the Midah Keneged Midah that this daughter would not be saved from the boar. And the reason he waited to the third hour, as Rashi explains over here, that he felt that for the first hour, the second hour, she could have survived in the boar. But by the third hour, she would have succumbed in the boar. And so therefore, he believed that she could not be killed because it was to him as such a given that because of the work of her father, that she would not die there. So at the moment where he thought it was no longer possible for her to remain in the boar, he assumed that somebody came and saved her. There were alternate explanations over here as to who the Zakain was, that it was really a Zakain who had the facial features or looked like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but basically a Malach that came as if they were Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So Rabbi Acha, Afa Pikain, despite what Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says over here, that this individual who did all this chesed should not be punished by the chesed that he is doing. Nevertheless, Afa Pikain made Beno B'tzama, that his son died from thirst. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Pasuk found in Tehillim, Perek Nun, Pasuk Gimel, where there it says, Yavo Elokeinu, Va'al Yecherash, Eish Lefanav Tochel, Usfivav Nis'ara Me'od. And around him it's stormy and tempest. That's what's around him. Gemara Darshins from this, Malamate, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Midaktek Im Svivav Afilu Kuchuta Se'ara. So Gemara is playing on Svivav, not to be around him or his environment, but rather those that surround him, the tzaddikim that are around him, they are treated or they are held accountable for afilu kechuta se'ara, for even for violations that are like by the breadth of a hair. The word se'ara over here, the word se'ara in the pasuk is used as if it was written with a samach, which means stormy and tempest. Here the Gemara is playing the fact that it's written with a sin is the word se'ar, and so it's that Hashem holds them accountable for their actions, their behavior. Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Nechunya Amar Mehocha. So this is the pasuk from Tehillim Perek Peitet. There it says, Kel Ne'aratz V'Sod Kedoshim Rabbah. Hashem is revered with the tremendous holiness that is around him. V'Nora Al Kol Svivav. And his awesomeness is in around all of his environment. Again, here, the word Svivav, the Gemara plays in the word Svivav to mean those that surround him. Nora, his awesomeness is on those that are around him. It's the same meaning as we brought from the pasuk before, which is that God is midaktek and mitzadikim kechuta seara. Amri mechanina kol omer kodesh baruch hu vatranu. Anybody says that Hashem waives punishment and doesn't take people to task for what they've done, yivatru chayav. He has basically given up on his life. Now, whether that means yivatru chayav, that's like a command at Sivoy, that his life should be taken from him, or is yivatru chayav mean that Hashem has taken away his ability to do tshuva, or his ability to come back because of the nature of his approach, and he's going to be stuck in his ways or his sinning ways. Shnemar, because the pasuk says, in Azinu Atzur Tamim Palo, Ki Kol Dirachav Mishpat. So the Atzur, the rock, the solid one, Mina Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tamim Palo, his actions are wholesome and truthful. Ki Kol Dirachav Mishpat, because all of his ways are just, exacting. And therefore Hashem doesn't let anything go. There's no such thing as waving or letting something go by the wayside. So Amar Rav Chano, V'itim Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Mai Dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk Erech Hapayim? That Hashem is slow to anger. Below Tiv Erech Af. But over here it says, instead of Erech Af, means slow to anger, it says Apayim in the plural. So why does it write Erech Hapayim and not Erech Af? Erech Hapayim L'Tzadikim Ule Rishayim. Hashem takes his time both with the Tzadikim as well as the Rishayim. So it's clear here the Erech Hapayim by the Tzadikim means that Hashem gives them time to do tshuva, that he withholds his anger from them. Ule Rishayim comes to teach you that even the Rishayim, Hashem also holds back his anger from them. Now, that can be read in one of two ways, and the Baalei Tosafot acknowledge that there are both possibilities here. One is that the Erech Hapayim for the Rishayim is actually to their detriment. Hashem does not punish them in this world because he wants to wear out or use up all their credits and only have what's left in the end to be the punishment for the Rishayim. And therefore, there's an Erech Hapayim for the Rishayim that is to their detriment. It's not Letovah, but rather Lera'ah. Or there it could be for the Erech Hapayim for the Rishayim is Letovatam because it gives them time to do. What's clear is the Gemara's view of what happened with Nechunya Chofer Barot Shechin and Me'arot. At first, his daughter was saved, and she was saved, Mida Keneged Mida, that she shouldn't die in the exact holy work that he was engaged in. But yet, despite that, later on, his son dies of thirst. As the Baalei Tosafot point out over here, those are slightly different. In the case of his daughter, she would have died in the exact location or structures that he had built or completed. In the case of his son, he just died from thirst, which thematically is connected to what he does, which is he digs borot, so there'll be water for the Ole Regalim, and he provides them, or provides for their thirst. So that would be the Mida Keneged Mida for the son. But as the Baalei Tosafot point out, that's more indirect. It's not a direct item that he did and will not afford him that protection that is normally there because of the Mida Keneged Mida. Because here it's slightly different or not a direct result of his actions. So now, the Gemara also suggests that the reason that he was punished was because Hashem is mitdaktek im etzadikim kechut ha-seara or nora al kol svivav. Meaning that Hashem holds the tzadik to a higher standard. That higher standard means that even in circumstances or situations which are not asur, nevertheless, Hashem might punish the tzadik in those situations because he's mitdaktek itam kechut ha-seara. He's so careful with them like that of a hair's breadth. Now, if you connect it to the next part of the Gemara, which is that it's speaking about the Erech Hapayim, and so therefore Hashem is in order to punish them in this world so that they will keep the maximum benefit for the next world. And so that might be why Hashem is here, because of the Erech Hapayim. And that's why Hashem allows them to get rid of all their sins and then be purified for Olam Haba. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that it's connected to the position, to the stories before, which is this whole idea of Hashem's Medakdekim and Tzadikim Kechuta Se'ara is referencing to explain why Nechunya Chofer Barot Shechin Me'orot's son died Bitzameh. So again, aside from the fact that there might be a difference in the Midah Keneged Midah, but there also has to be explained why his child died in this manner. And the answer is that Hashem is medaktekim and tzadikim ke Kuta Se'ara. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichat Musar has a whole memra on this of Svivav Nisara Me'od. He speaks about this idea with Tzadikim, like Nadav Ve'Avihu, Rav Chananya Ben Tradion, and this whole idea of that there is a punishment for things that are seemingly otherwise innocuous, or things that for anybody else would not have been problematic. But because either there's an ulterior motive in the mitzvah or in the action that they are taking, and that gashmiut or that personal interest in the mitzvah is what, in a sense, poisons the mitzvah, and Hashem holds the tzaddikim to that higher standard. He speaks about it, most importantly, about the personal interests or the wrong intentions inside the mitzvah that ruins the purity of the mitzvah. And for the tzaddikim, Hashem will hold them to task for something like that. But you could even see it in a more simple form, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds tzaddikim, the threshold by which Hashem is going to judge them, because both of the way that others look at them, as well as the way that they are presenting themselves to the public at large, then Hashem holds them to that standard of the image or the leadership role that they are taking, especially in the sense that they are leaders that people follow and emulate. And so therefore Hashem's going to hold them to that higher standard. And again, that is the same thing that we do in general when we have leaders or we look up to people, we hold them to a higher standard. And so to Hashem, just like human beings hold them to a higher standard, they expect more from them. And even though some people might do the same thing, they expect their leaders not to act in that way or not to behave in that way because they feel like they're held to a higher standard. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu holds the tzaddikim to a higher standard. And that's the same thing here, that Nechunya Chofer Borot Shechini Me'arot lost his son to Tzama, to thirst, because of this idea of Mekdakim Imre Tzaddikim Kechuta Se'ara. Again, the way that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz speaks about it is that he did this altruistic thing for the public at large, but he might have had some personal interest in it, or he might have some personal benefit in it. That's the way he would explain it. Others suggest that the idea of Midah Keneged Midah, providing you protection, is only good when it's joined together with Tefillah. Therefore, his daughter was saved because he had the Tefillah of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, plus the Midah Keneged Midah. By his son, he only had the Midah Keneged Midah, not the Tefillah, and that's why the son was not protected by the Midah Keneged Midah. But the fact that the way that his son died is so close to the work that he did means that Midah Keneged Midah is hinting at something possibly wrong within the work that he did. And therefore the Maharal suggests over here that the problem or the issue was that the work that he did, which is tremendous chesed to people, still had a downside to it or had something wrong with it. The problem here was that even though he was doing something great by providing water to the Olei Regalim, nevertheless, he was also opening up Borot in the Reshut HaRavim. And so he was creating Takalot in the Reshut HaRavim, and even though he did it by the prescription of Chazal, and he was not liable for it, nevertheless, Hashem might have held him to a higher standard, by which that even if he was doing it, and even if he wasn't liable, he should have, quote-unquote, put up a maquette, put a fence around him, do things to secure the Borot, which he didn't do, and that's maybe why he was punished over here. And for that reason, because he is a tzaddik, Hashem is medaktek im tzaddikim kechut ha'sara, because there were individuals who were hurt by his work, by these borot that were put in the Reshut HaRabim, and that injured those individuals, even though he was exempt because of the fact that he was doing it for the Rabim at large. It's an interesting suggestion, contextually, because it would fit well with the Gemara that we're learning. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Lo yisakel adam mirshuto the Reshut HaRabim. There's one of the quirky things about the Hebrew language, which is when you stone someone, right, that's called skila or sokel, to stone someone. The verb is also used to mean to clear a field from stones. So over here, lo yisakel adam mirshuto the Reshut HaRabim means a person should not clear his field from the stones and place those stones in the Reshut HaRabim. The obvious reason is that you're taking items that are in your property and then placing them, those obstacles, in the Reshut HaRabim. So you're putting a boar Reshut HaRabim. Masaya ba'adam echad sheya misakel mirshuto the Reshut HaRabim. There was this individual who did exactly that. He was clearing out the stones, the rocks, from his private property and placing them into Reshut HaRabim. In mitzao chasid echad. So he bumped into one of this chasid. Amarlo reka, you problematic, empty person. Why are you clearing out the field, taking the stones out of a field that does not belong to you? The reshut shelcha, and putting them into a location which does belong to you. Ligleg alav. He laughed at him. He didn't understand what he's talking about. He said, some crazy old guy telling me about this. The yamim. After some time, nitzrach limkor sadeyu. He was forced into difficult financial straits, and he had to sell his field in order to raise capital. Ve'yam alech v'oto reshut rabim. He's walking along that public domain, v'nichshal botan avanim, and he trips and he falls or is injured by those stones that he himself put out there. Amar yafer amar liyoto chasid. After he falls on the stones, it jogs his memory and he remembers what that chasid said to him. Mipnei ma'ata misakel mirshut she'enu shelcha. Why are you clearing out the stones from property that's not yours? Because in the end he had to sell it and it wasn't his property. And putting them into a reshut shelcha, into a domain that is yours. I mean that the Reshut Rabim, where he is now, and he was damaged by the fact that his own stones were in the Reshut Rabim. Or in essence, your rights to the Reshut Rabim are something that cannot be terminated or sold, because that is a natural right for anyone who is a part of the Rabim. On the other hand, your private domain is only your private domain as long as you have balut or ownership over it. So therefore, the Chassid was saying to him, don't ruin the Reshut Rabim, even though for you it looks like the Reshut Yachid is more important than the Reshut Rabim. So you're clearing out the Reshut Yachid at the expense of the Reshut Rabim, but you have to look at the Reshut Rabim as being your own Reshut Yachid as well, as if it's for you and your benefit as well, and you have to treat it like you would treat your own field, and maybe even better than your own field, because, again, it's an ownership that cannot be taken away from you. And it might be akin, like you're suggesting, Josh, that it might be akin to what Rabbi Yishmael suggested before, which is that even though you put in takalot or obstacles in the Reshut Rabim and they're not yours, the Torah put them into your possession for liability. So you could say the same thing here, that they're in your possession for liability because that's an area or a reshut that is really yours that you share with many other people. Some see this as a mashal for Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, with the Olam Haba being the Reshut Rabim, and the Olam Hazeh being one's personal field. And that one has to take care of the Olam Haba, the area where they have shared ownership, quote-unquote permanent ownership, even at the expense of their own field, meaning the Olam Hazeh. That's a really beautiful way, if you think it through, of giving a mashal for one to keep perspective on Olam Haba, even when they're living in Olam Hazeh. And now the next Mishnah. A chover bor b'shut rabim, someone who digs out a boar in the public domain, and a follow tocho shor chamor, a shor chamor falls into it, doesn't matter shor chamor, those are just examples, but any animal, chayav, you are responsible for it. Echad chofer boar, shiach ume'ara charitzim ni'itzin chayav. Even if you dig out any one of these items, you are chayav. A boar is a cistern. It is round in nature, and it's used or usually plastered to hold water in it. A Shiach, on the other hand, is aruka v'kitzara. It's a very long and narrow ditch. Me'ara is a cave, which means that it has got an opening or a mouth, and it's dug into the ground, but it has walls on both sides, as well as a roof over the top. So it's somewhat squared out, but it also has a roof on the top with a small opening into it. Charitzin, Rashi claims, are rechavim umirubayim ekir me'ara. They are wide and squared out like a cave. Ve'einan mikurin. But they are not roofed. So as opposed to the cave, which has a roof over the top and you have some sort of opening to enter it, the charitzin are completely open on the top. Ve'ne'itzim. And ne'itzim, Rashi calls them here, kitzarim milamata urechavim milamalo. They are narrow at the bottom and wide at the top, a ditch that is narrow at the bottom and wide at the top. Chayav. You are chayav, responsible in all these cases. Imkein laman amer bor. So then if you're chayav for any of these types of diggings or creations, then why does the Torah use the example of bor? Ma bor sheish bo kdei la'amit asara tfachim. To teach it, just like a bor requires 10 tfachim in order to kill, af kol sheyesh bo kdei la'amit asarat tfachim. So too, with any of these different manifestations of obstacles, they have to be a minimum of 10 tfachim in order to be chayav for mita. היו פחותים מעשרה תפחים, they were less than 10 תפחים, ונפל לתוכו שור או חמור, השור החמור falls into them, ומת and dies, פטור. He's פטור, because we learned this earlier in the Masechta, there are two avot nezikim with regards to bor. There's a bor lemita, which is from 10 tefachim and lower. There's a bor nezikin, which is a bor that is less than 10 tefachim deep. Obviously, it's more than 10 tefachim deep, and there was no death, you're also chayav for nezek. But there is a different threshold for nezek versus that of mita. So that's what it says here. If there was less than 10 tefachim, the shor chamor fall in there, umeit, patur. In muzakbo, if they were damaged, chayav. He is responsible for the nezikin. Amarav, bor shechiyavat alav Torah, lahavlo v'lo chavato. Rav says that the bor, this cistern we'll call it, that the Torah obligates you for over here, is because of the danger and the cause of death that was presented because of the hevel, the bad quality air, the bad circumstances in which the individual finds themselves in the bor. But lo the chavato is from the impact on the ground. The fact that the person who fell in there smashed themselves into the ground, that is not the reason. Alma kasavar, what Rav must hold is, chavata karkolamo, that the impact on the ground is not his responsibility because the ground is the ground, and the ground is responsible for what happens. So therefore, chavatolam karkolamo demaskile, the earth is the thing that hurt him or injured him in this case. And the hevel, this poor air quality, comes from the fact that especially in the bor, we're talking about something that has water that is sitting still in there from the time of the winter season, the rainy season, all through the summer season. And therefore it builds up inside of these borot, this terrible both water quality and air quality as the summer proceeds. And that's what Rav seems to be referencing over here as being the problem inside of the bor. Shmuel Amar, lehavlo, bekoshkein lechavato. Shmuel says, yes, of course, the bad air quality is something to consider, but it's a koshkein that the impact on the ground, he should be chayav for that problem that was generated by his falling and being crushed in the bor. Vita omar lechavato amrat Torah v'lo lehavlo. Maybe you're going to tell me that the only thing you're responsible for is the impact of falling in the bor, but not for the hevel, the bad quality air. Torah hida ala bor v'afilu malei tzvugim mishel tzemer. Torah says about a bor you are chayav. It doesn't give you the definition or description of a bor, and that is even a bor that is filled with wool or soft wool, you still will be chayav. The only reason you could be chayav for a bor that has a huge amount of wool in it, or has pillows and mattresses in it, soft items in it, is for the problem not to be the chavata, the impact of hitting the ground, because that is all covered, but rather because of the fact that you are now in a area where there's not good air ventilation or air flow. And that's what causes you to be chayav in that type of bor. My benayu, what is the nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel? As Rashi notes in the end, they don't say anything that is different. They both agree that you're going to be chayav for someone who's killed in the bor. And Rashi says, Michte echa demepo, ben the Rav, ben the Shmuel, when he dies in there, both of them agree chayav. Va'afilu nifkat kreiso, even if it burst his stomach, oh, nishbara mifarkato, it broke his neck. Michayev nami Rav. Rav is also Michayev over here. The Igal Meimer Havla nami Katalte. That the Hevel was a joint cause of death. I mean, obviously this person is in bad shape because he fell into the bor and the impact on the ground. But the Hevel or the bad quality air might be what seals the fate for this individual. And the same thing happens again when Rashi talks about here. If he's injured or damaged, that maybe the Hevel exacerbates the situation. So Rav would agree in those cases that you are chayav. So if that's the scenario, then both Rav and Shmuel agree in all these cases that you're going to be chayav. So then what is the nafkamina between them? That's what the Gemara is asking over here. My benayu. So Ika benayu, de avad gova b'shut rabim. He made a pile that, in the reshut rabim that was higher than normal. The Rav, a gova lo mechayev. For Rav, there's nothing to speak about here. This can't be considered bor because you're up above ground. And above ground for Rav means there's no hevel. The only thing you have is chavata. And Rav says you're chayev hevel and not chavata. The Shmuel agova nami mechayev. On the other hand, Shmuel himself agrees that by the height you will also be chayav because he says impact or the damage done by the item itself you are responsible for. So over here, there's a machloket amongst the Mishonim, exactly what it means, gova. Does Gova simply mean he put a pile that was 10 tefachim high in the Reshut HaRabim? Or is the scenario here where he puts a pile that is 5 tefachim high, and he digs a ditch around it that is 5 tefachim deep? Or is the case here where he falls off this item, he climbs onto this pile that you put there, falls off of it, and then hits the ground down below? Tosfot over here discusses what exactly the scenario is by this Gova. He says, it has to be a case where he trips over this pile and then hits the ground. If he actually hits the pile itself, even Rav agrees that you're a chayav, because there it's clear that the impact was caused by his doing or his action, versus just being the bedrock or the ground itself that did the damage. That we find when he trips over that pile and then lands on the ground, even Shmuel grazes it to Pater, the Karko lo mezikato. He invokes that principle of Rav. So what exactly is the scenario here where Rav would disagree and say that you are Pater, but yet Shmuel is going to say you're a Chayav? So he says, Yesh lamar, Gova, Abad Gova, Hei Tfachim. He made the pile 5 Tfachim high, but Saviva Gova, Chafar Baomek, Hei Tfachim. And around he dug a ditch that is 5 Tfachim deep. Vinitkal Begova, and he tripped over the part that is sticking out, the 5 Tfachim that is sticking out. Nechba Baomek Abor, and then he was injured by falling into the boar which is surrounding it. So he has a total of 10 tefachim, but he lands in the boar, and not just falling on the karka olam. For Rav, there's no hevel here, so there's nothing to discuss. For Shmuel, you have both the hevel and the chavata, and therefore you'll be responsible for the damage that comes about from that. My time with the Rav, what's the reason behind Rav's position? Damakra, the pasuk says, v'nafal, ad shipol derech nefila. It's only if he falls, or that the injury is caused because of the nefila. So therefore, it's only something that is down, not something that is up. Ushmuel, v'nafal kol dehu mashma. Nafal means that any amount he falls is going to be chayav. So over here, for Shmuel, if he ascends this pile that you put there and falls down, then you're going to be chayav, because he did exactly that. He fell. On the other hand, Rav believes that nafal means until you seriously fall into the boar, meaning that the depth of the boar is important over here, because Rav is after hevel, and that doesn't exist when the items are above ground, only when they are below ground. Tosfot notes over here that there are other nafkamino that you could have come up with between Rav and Shmuel. Says one possibility is, Akaname Matz the Mamer Nafal Derech Acho Rav, that it fell backwards into the boar, which for Rav would be Patur, because Rav is only Michayev if he falls in Derech Panav, because then there's Hevel. Inami bebor shirachvayu ter alam omka, that is wider than its depth. To lack a hevel, there's clearly enough ventilation that there is no hevel. But therefore, for Shmuel be chayab because of chavata, but for Rav would not be chayab because there's no hevel. Right, it's none. Imkain lama nemar bor. Why does the Torah say bor? Ma bor sheish bo kdei lamit asarat fachim. The Mishnah says, but bor is something that's 10 fachim deep that has the ability to kill. So do anything else is to be a minimum of 10 tefachim, then you'll be responsible for it. So Bor teaches us what is the generic type of problem or obstacle we're talking about here. We're talking about an obstacle or a problem that is deadly. That's only the case when the Bor has sufficient depth, like 10 tefachim deep. Now why that is, whether that's because the definition of Bor is a Sarat Fachim, which seemingly is the way that Rashi learns it. On the other hand, others suggest that the Stam Bor is not a Sarat Fachim, but we know that the Torah differentiates between a Bor of Mita and a Bor of Nezek, and the Chachamim were Migmar Gmirei, that 10 Fachim was the threshold between a Bor that can kill and a Bor of Nezek. So Bor teaches us about that measure of 10 Fachim, that is then extrapolated to all the other items, that you need something that has at least 10 tefachim, or has the ability to kill. Bishlam al Shmuel, af kol atuya gova. Af kol means also other things. What are the other things? For Shmuel, it means they pile in Reshut HaRabim, something that he elevated in Reshut HaRabim. Elo the Rav, af kol atuya mai. According to Rav, what are you including? It says, atuya charitzim v'neitzim. To include the charitz and the naitz. It says, charitzim v'neitzim behejuk tani ilu. They're explicitly mentioned in our Mishnah. I don't need to include them through here. So Tani Vahodar Mefarish. Tana wrote it, and then he went back to explicate on. So the Af Kol comes to include the Charitzin and Ni'itzin, And that is already explicated earlier in the Mishnah that Charitzin Nitzin is not unique to those, but any type of ditch or excavation that had taken place, the full list that we saw before, which is a Bor, Sheach, Merah, Charitzin, and Nitzin. And so therefore, the Mishnah is just giving you a summary or a short-handed list here by the inclusionary term, and it references you back to what we already stated before, that there are more terms included under this. And the Hadar Mefaresh over here is it explaining to the source for the fact that we're including more items than simply Bor in this situation. V'hani kulu diktani lomali. So why does our Mishnah need all these different types of structures to tell you that you are chayav? Tzricha, there is a need for them. Di'itana Bor. Had it just written Bor, havamina Bor, asarahu, di'it be havla. That a Bor that's 10 tefachim, a minimum of 10 tefachim, low, has this problem of hevel. Mishum dekatin v'kricha. It's because it is very narrow and round, and that's why by a Bor you're going to be chayav, because it's difficult to exit. About shiach darich, the shiach which is very long, eme basara lately havlo. Let us say there that even at 10 tefachim, it doesn't have hevel. V'itan a shiach, havamin a shiach asarahu deit behavlo. That in a shiach, when it's 10 tefachim deep, you have hevel down there. Mishom de katin, because it's very narrow. Aval, mi'ara, talking about a cave which has a bigger expanse. Mirabah, it's squared out. Ema basara, late behavlo. So maybe over there, we wouldn't say that there is 10 tefachim for hevel here because of the openness of it. V'itani me'ara, had it just written me'ara, havamina me'ara ba'asarahu deit ba'avla, me'ara, 10 tefachim deep, has a din of hevel, mishum de metalala, because it's roofed, it's covered over, aval charitzin de lo metalale, but charitzin that are not covered, ema ba'asara leit lebu havla. Let us say there that even at 10 tefachim there is no hevel. V'itani charitzin, at the mission only written charitz, havamina charitzin asarahu deit bu havla. The reason that over there, 10 tefachim deep, has hevel in it, mishum delet vehu revicha. It doesn't have easy airing, mile'el, mitvei mitatai. Up above, more than it does below. Ava ni'itzin de revichi mile'el, tvei mitatai, that they are wider at the top than they are at the bottom, ema besara lebu avla. That maybe by asara there would be no hevel over there, because of the fact that there is enough aeration, or ventilation here, that would say that won't be hevel in that circumstance or situation. So each one of these is a chiddush because the one that you would mention first seemingly has a problem of hevel at 10 tefachim because of its lack of ventilation. And then the next item, which is bigger, wider, longer, or has better ventilation, maybe you think there that the 10 tefachim are not the threshold. The answer is that all of them have that same threshold of 10 tefachim. Tanan, ayup chutim mi'asarat tefachim. Nafala tocho shor o chamor. There are less than 10 tefachim high, and then a shor chamor falls into their omate and dies. Patur, you are exempt. V'im uzak bo chayav. But if you got damage in there, you are chayav. Nafala tocho shor chamor umate. If they fall in there and die, patur. My time. Lav mishum delepe chavata. Maybe that's because there is no chavata over here. Meaning that you're less than 10 tefachim, and less than tefachim is not impactful, and therefore there's no chavata over here. Must be because less than 10 vachim lacks the impact. And that's why you are patur. It says, no, mishum delet lehablo. No, it's that the air quality isn't so bad because it's not deep enough. Yochi muzak bo chayav. If that's the case, if it is damaging it, you are chayav. Halet lehablo. How could you be chayav if there's no hevel in there? If the whole problem with the boar is the hevel, then if it's not enough hevel to kill it, then why is there any hevel here in order to damage it? Amrei ain't havlo the mita, vesh havlo the nizokin. Same way that you could say with physical impact, there are borot that are deep enough that the physical impact would kill. And you have sometimes a bor that is not deep enough or strong enough to kill him, but is enough to injure him. So the same way by impact, the deeper bor might have more severe consequences and cause death, whereas the shallower bor does not have that impact, and therefore you're not chayav for death, but you are chayav for nizakin. The same is true over here by hevel, that a deeper bor will have more potent and odor and hevel that can cause death, whereas there is a bor that is shallower where the hevel is not sufficient to cause death, but only damage. Ha'u Torah, denafal arita didlai. He fell into a water channel of a water drawer, shachate mare. The owner of the animal, after the animal fell into the water channel, he shechs it. Tarfei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said it's a treifa, you can't eat it. So here we're talking about a treifa. With regards to the din of a treifa, sometimes the cause of an animal being a treifa is not visible. There's certain treifot on the animal which are visible. The other treifot that are not visible that have to be checked sometimes right after shechita or sometimes even before the shechita if we can feel it. We're checking for treifot which would make obviously render the animal unkosher. One of the treifot is an animal that falls and has a heavy impact. There, even though there's no visible damage to the animal, nevertheless, it's still a treifa because we assume that the impact causes some internal bleeding or internal damage. The only way you can escape from that is if the animal lives for another 24 hours without any problems. So then it's not going to be deemed a treifa. It's not going to be assumed that it was a treifa. Tosfot notes that there are other ways to test for the treifa here besides waiting the 24 hours. If the animal stands up by itself, it still requires a checking, but that might be enough. If the animal stands up by itself and walks by itself, walking away from this injury, then it also would not be considered a treifa. And he leaves it at Tzarachion over here, whether the 24-hour period also requires a bedika afterwards, or is the 24-hour period a default that it does not have this treifa of risuk evarim. This is what's meant over here, is that the individual had a shore that fell into the water channel, and in falling to the water channel had a physical impact. And then the owner went ahead and shechted it. So Rav Nachman says about that shore that it's a treifa. It's a treifa because of the fact that it's had an impact, and it's had an impact where we can't see or it's not visible what happened, and we have to assume that there might be a problem over here. Had he waited 24 hours, it would have been fine. And therefore, this is what Rav Nachman said to him. Ishako mari dai Torah kava de kimcha. Had he spent a little more money and traveled to the Beit Midrash, Basel Tana Beit Midrasha, and gone to the Beit Midrash in order to get the answer rather than coming to Rav Nachman, and learned the fact that if he waits 24 hours, it would have been kshera, lo afsedei de Torah. He wouldn't have lost his shor, the shava kama kave, that's worth more than one kav of kemach. And that he could have saved himself a lot of money if he... Two possibilities that have viewed this over here, which is the shatam 8-8 because he would have traveled to the Beit Midrash, and his traveling to the Beit Midrash would have caused a delay of 24 hours, and therefore he would have been under this din of shatam 8-8 gives you the ability to shech that we no longer assumes it is a treifa, or he means in a more simple form that had he spent the money and traveled to Beit Midrash and learnt this halacha shatam 8-8, had he not shechted it immediately, but known to wait 24 hours, he might have saved himself a lot of money. So whether Rav Nachman saying that had he just taken the time to go learn, he would have known to wait the 24 hours in order to save the value of his animal and shechted it and be kasher. Or does it mean that had he gone to the Beit Midrash, it would have taken enough time that the 24 hours would have elapsed and he would have saved himself the shor had he asked before the fact. So Amar Kasavar Rav Nachman, from this it seems like Rav Nachman holds Yesh Chavata Pachot Me'asara. There is impact less than 10 tefachim, because when we talk about a channel, we usually talk about what's called amat hamayim. The reason it's called amat hamayim, the water channel, is because it's an amat deep and an amat wide. And so that's why it's called amat hamayim. But that means it's only an amat deep, it is not 10 tefachim deep. An amat can be 4, 5, or 6 tefachim, it's certainly not 10 tefachim deep. So what you see from here is that Rav Nachman seemingly thinks that there's impact from less than 10 tefachim. Eight ve'rov the Rav Nachman. Our Mishnah, you pchutim asarat tachim, tvachim nafal duchol shor chamor meit patur. So it sounds like that there is no impact from less than 10 tvachim that is meaningful. So my taima, la mishum delet bei chavata, isn't the reason that less than 10 tvachim yinat chayav is because there's no impact, physical impact over there. Lo, mishum delet bei havlo. Now there, the reason is because it's not hevel, there's not the depth also creates the hevel, and that is the problem that we have over here. It says, if that's the case, if it gets damaged, your chayav, where's their hevel? There's no hevel over there in order for it to be chayav. Same answer that we gave before, that there is no hevel for death, meaning there's not enough hevel there because the depth isn't deep enough in order to kill it, but there is hevel there that can cause damage in a similar way that the depth can cause death from the impact. But if it's shallower, it won't cause death from the impact. The same thing will apply by Hevel. And therefore, that's how Rav Nachman will explain the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Hevel, and whether it's sufficiently deep to have hevel that will kill, versus if it's shallower, we'll only have hevel for nizakin, and that won't be a stirat of Rav Nachman's psak over here, that the chavata of less than 10 tefachim, meaning that the one tefach chavata could be a serious enough physical impact that he could be deemed a trefa, and therefore when the owner shechted it before waiting the 24-hour period, it will be considered a trefa, not kasher. So we're going to stop over here, three lines down on the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph.